Welcome to The Holt Story, a podcast where tech leaders discuss the biggest trends and challenges in cybersecurity technology. Brought to you by Tech Data, one of the world's largest technology distributors.
Welcome to another episode of The Holt Story. I'm your host, Tracy Holtz, and today my guest is Patrick Sweeney, the CEO of Area One, and our topic is on supply chain cyber threats. Patrick has been in the industry for well over 20 plus years, leading companies such as Telarie, SonicWall, and was a key part of SonicWall's acquisition to Dell, and then led Vice President of Dell's security and software groups. Welcome, Patrick.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Well, as we, you know, certainly see in the market today and in the news every night, I feel cybersecurity continues to dominate the press, whether that be, you know, on the internet or in the news, whether that be around the pipeline attack. Certainly, I know you and I just recently talked about the JBS hack, the job market that continues to linger and create quite a bit of a gap in, you know, our customers and their customers' ability to secure and provide the right level of security. So let's kind of get started because I'm really intrigued with the topic today. And when we think about supply chain, I think I covered every aspect of the supply chain this weekend, over the holiday, whether that be out spending time at restaurants, whether that be spending time, working on our own individual businesses. But when you think about the supply chain, what's the biggest threat today that exists in the channel?
Well, for the channel, I mean, it's the supply chain complexity is that there has to be trust established between entities. And so there's generally someone providing a service and someone consuming a service. So that's the way the entire economy works. And you have to have trust. And yet you have two separate entities. And because you have two separate entities, you can be in charge of your security, which is great. And you may have perfect security. You may be an expert at the security. But you can't know that the person that you're doing business with has an equal level security. And even if they do, all security can be hacked in one way or the other. And so you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable because in supply chain attacks, what's happening is there is some degree of trust that needs to happen. And yet there's fraud that can be perpetuated.
And you bring a good point, right? There has to be a level of trust in supply chain, but where are the boundaries of that trust? Or maybe from your perspective, where do you see those boundaries really existing?
Well, I mean, what you try to do, of course, in establishing boundaries of trust is you're trying to make sure all your communications are secure, your networks and your borders are completely secure, all those types of things. But here's the big flaw or the big soft underbelly, which is that you're going to exchange information. And some of it's going to come through by simple means such as email. And you're not going to run your business successfully without exchanging information and generally email. And that is a soft underbelly in the industry. And we always talk about it. 95% of all cybersecurity threats, 95% of all start with phishing. And phishing starts with email.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring this up, right? I mean, I think the topic of email and phishing attacks, it's certainly today the single largest threat. But I think, in conjunction with that is the human aspect, right? Mm-hmm. And the human is your largest risk to me in cybersecurity, because it's less likely your security software or hardware will fail you. It's the human aspect that will. And, we all have a specific level of phishing simulation and training and education, but yet we still see these attacks occur. And so when you think about the amount of volume of email in a general day that we all go through, from a corporate to a small business, what is your perspective on some best practices? Or even, we'll kind of maybe phase this in two ways to answer this. One, best practices that, companies can impose into their organizations. And secondly, maybe what technologies need to be, make sure that they're integrated.
Well, I mean, you brought something already, which is interesting. There's a lot of people doing education, which is great. You got to have education. You got to be known, hey, if someone sends you a solicitation to donate money to Nigeria, it's probably not good, right? And so it's great that you look at things and you try to spot things. But ironically, what happens is that if you rely on something like just phishing education, knowing what not to open, not to click, you get an inverse problem, which is you get everyone paranoidly kind of, I'll make up a new word there, kind of firing your emails into your SOC or to your trusted security advisor, to your channel partner saying, hey, is this a fish? Is this a fish? Is this dangerous? And that creates a different thing, which is fatigue, you know, which is the inability to really keep up with all the different solicitations saying, is this bad? Is this good? You know, please evaluate this. So that's a problem. So a straightforward answer on that is, today, there's a lot of means put into place to protect us with email security, but most of the things that put into place, and I'm just stating the facts, I know it's self-serving, but I'm just going to state the facts, is that they're mostly based on legacy technologies. Most email security was really founded around things like spam, and spam's annoying. Spam's not going to wind you up on the front page of the Wall Street Journal and destroy your business. It's not going to take down the supply chain of oil. It's not going to take down the supply chain of meat processing, food on our tables and things like that. So the answer is that you have to layer on a level of security, not based on old antiquated technologies, but based on cloud native security solutions that are really up to date and they have new approaches. And these new approaches have to be layered into your security. So if you're deploying O365 or Google Mail or any of the cloud-based apps, you need to match the technology. And there are technologies these days that are updated and correct and, you know, present in the way they need to be infrastructurally that will align and be able to provide you a higher level of security than has been existed, that has existed in the past and being offered by people who have been around for way, way, way too long and have not really brought the technology up to speed.
You bring two interesting pieces to that, right? The infrastructure aspect of it and the technology or the software application of that. Where do you see today in maybe the clients that you support? Have you seen, you know, firsthand where one of those is, you know, been well protected and the other, you know, being completely missed in terms of an approach?
You do see that every single day. And like I said, think about this. If you are a channel partner, a channel partner is a great microcosm for the way that the world works. You have an entity that is providing a service, products, or capabilities to another entity. That under other entity is, you know, running some sort of business. We'll just take a food supplier since that's in the news these days. That food supplier has hundreds of vendors and one or two or three or four or five of those are going to be, for example, channel partners. You establish trust, you're emailing back and forth with that supplier. At some point, you, the channel partner, will need to be paid for services rendered. There will be some moment of trust where you say, here, please pay this either account, this ACH, this different way of doing it. Here's my address, send me a check or whatever it may be. At that moment, there is the opportunity for the compromise. And we can lay out how this actually occurs in more detail. But the big picture is that there's that moment of trust. Now, even if you're great, it is possible that even though you've got no malware, you've got nothing loaded on your systems, you don't have ransomware, that you have an account takeover situation or that the person you're talking to has an account takeover. And no matter who you are, you're not in charge of their security. So your protection, your infrastructure has to be in place to protect you, but do more than that. And that is to essentially reach and monitor and understand the infrastructure from all of your people that you communicate with and making sure that you're protecting against them having been hacked unbeknownst to them as they try to communicate with you.
Yeah, I'm going to push you a little bit more into this because I think this is intriguing, right? You know, and I think that our listeners today will learn a lot from this. So talk maybe further through that threat factor and actually how that actually does play out and simulate.
Sure. So you know, you read in the world these days that there's a lot of supply chain fraud and you kind of categorize that fraud or the actual attack as being business email compromises. And both Area 1 Security and Gartner had kind of labeled these and given them classifications at one time. And so there's BEC type 1, there's BEC type 2, there's type 3 and type 4. As you might imagine, BEC type 1 and 2 are relatively easy to spot. They're relatively easy to stop. It's BEC type 3s and 4s are really, really complex. And what happens there is that you have an entity and that entity has email communications going on with somebody that they trust. And the more that you email them, what do you do, Tracy? You trust them more. If I'm emailing with you and we go back and forth and we have a phone conversation later, you kind of know and establish that the email, you know, flow between you and me is legit because it's obvious, right? We can tell by the context. But what happens in a BEC is that there is a lurking threat actor. And in the type four situations, what's happened is that somewhere in the chain of trust, there is an account takeover. And so there's somebody lurking and watching your and my communications. And so if we get to the point where I'm now going to say, okay, Tracy, you know, great doing business with you. We have, you know, I'm your channel partner or whatever. I'm, you know, I'm a supplier of whatever services and capabilities. It's time for me to get paid. Here's my ACH, or please, here's the address where you're sending the money to. At that moment, the threat actors in a BEC type three or type four will then insert an email and probably block you from logging in for a short period of time. Not enough to make you suspicious, but enough so that you can't interfere with our communications. And someone will represent you, Tracy, and say to me, hey, great, Patrick, here's the invoice and here's where you're going to send it to, or I'm changing the ACH, or I'm changing the account number, or I'm changing the address, whatever it may be. And this year alone, we have stopped, and this is not a fake statistic, this year alone, we have stopped over $500 million worth of those frauds that would have been successful, because it's a very successful mechanism. It works. It plays on the fact that the more you trust, the more vulnerable you are. And everyone is subject to this who's in a supply chain role. And so whether it's our channel partners that are supplying services to somebody, or the services that they're supplying are to a company that supplies products and capabilities to somebody, because we all pay people, we all get invoiced by people, we all render services. So in that chain of trust, that's where the vulnerability lay. And so you got BECs, business email compromises, you got type one, type two. I won't go into the details, they're relatively easy to spot. The complex ones are the threes and the fours, where you have to have an unbelievable amount of very modern technology to be able to spot them so that you can prevent them from happening.
So these, when you think about trust equaling vulnerability, that's how I am going to equate it, mm-hmm. right? And that's a huge statistic. So, I mean, that's kudos, right? $500 million is a tremendous amount of savings back to your clients that they, you know, didn't get, you know, risk around. But, you know, that continues to climb every day. And when we think about, you know, trust equaling vulnerabilities, because we trust, it's natural for all of us, right? It's natural for architectures to trust based on what you just exactly went through, that entire scenario. When we think about threes and fours, you know, what is that modern technology that our partners must have, right? What is okay. absolutely have to be in their toolbox then? Because I think our listeners need to critically understand this.
So you know, the key thing here is that if you have a very, you know, and obviously I represent everyone, and this is what we're founded on, is you have to go outside the normal constraints of, you know, just doing simple things like code detonation and identification of malintent and things like that. And you've got to get into some pretty tricky technologies, and you have to do two things. One of which is you've got to do a preemptive view of the entire internet. And what you're doing is you've got to have a kind of Google-esque size crawler that's going to go out and look at the infrastructure for everybody, you know, in quite literally on the internet, and understand their DNS records and understand the DNS registrations, and then understand how people are obfuscating and trying to make it look like they are a domain that is from a legitimate supplier, and they can make it look really, really good. They can register it early. They can get the name to be almost identical. And then they're going to set up an MX record and they're going to have a web presence there. So there's this infrastructure for one. So to answer your question, one on the infrastructure and modern really email security side, you've got to have preemptive technology that goes out and understands the entire infrastructure that's going to be used to attack people. That's number one. Number two, you also have to have kind of the six real key technologies that are going to prevent the fraud on an analytics and real-time basis. And one of which is going to be campaign source analytics, which is preemptively crawling, kind of what I'm talking about, and a priori understanding the infrastructure and the knowledge that exists out there set up to attack. Number two, you have to have natural language processing in the form of sentiment analysis. You need to be able to understand, what is this email trying to get me to do? If I'm interacting with Tracy, and all of a sudden I make a call to, you know, I make the statement that, hey, it's getting time for the invoice to be paid. That's different than if I say, Tracy, hey, how's the weather, right? And so your system, your robots, so to speak, as we like to call them jokingly, is that the robots need to understand that there's an intent. And when you have that intent, you need to trigger them additional algorithms so you understand what the next step is. You need to be able to have what's called a partner trust graph, which is we can establish that there's going to be communications going between me and you. And if I'm the entity that, you know, let's suppose I'm the supplier, I need to make sure that the emails coming in from a legitimate site, are there obfuscated domains being set up that look like your site? And of course, you, a human, are never going to know that. So we build that technology at companies like Area One. Then you have to have conversational context analytics, which is, now I know what the subject matter is. I know that there's this partner trust, but then also vulnerability, because I can see there's infrastructure in the internet that is looking like it could be used to then switcheroo on you and divert that payment. So you have to have the conversational context analytics, and then you got to have universal message classifications to understand what it is specifically that the call to action, the CTA, is that is going to be that moment of compromise. And then you've got to have an infrastructure around verdict escalation. So what do you do? How do you handle that? I know that's a mouthful, and I totally understand that I'm rambling. No, not rambling. I'm diatribing a little bit, but it's real important to understand this. Point one was know the infrastructure in the internet that is set up to attack. Two, have unique, specific, very advanced ways of being able to understand the campaigns, the messages, the partner trust infrastructure, the conversational context, the universal message classification, and how you're going to escalate that verdict. It's a lot, but that's what we're here for. That's why there are solutions.
No, that's perfect, right? And I think that's why I wanted to really push you a little bit more on what that technology that Area One brings, right? Mm-hmm. From mm-hmm. a protection, because that's the way we're going to protect the supply chain. And I want to maybe step back just a second, because to me, when you think about everything you just covered and the opportunity that when you think about the volume of emails that any organization, but just think of the channel as a whole, sees daily. Mm-hmm. Weekly, monthly, right? It's enormous. It's extremely frightening. The amount of, you know, bad vectors that are coming through and bad guys that are, you know, potentially getting access, and, you know, the 500 million becomes, you know, billions of dollars at that point. And that's frightening for anyone. And so our listeners, I really want to kind of maybe step back just a second, if you allow me to, and really talk about, when we think about the market and the channel, and you know, particularly my audience is certainly, you know, I've got, you know, education listeners, I've got our channel partners who are our VARs, our MSPs, SIs, you know, MSSPs, and then certainly their clients, their end customers. But when you think about just all of that supply chain right there that we talked about, you know, when you think about what the FBI estimates and the market opportunity and the loss that could incur in this business, what are you seeing as recent statistics that our listeners can learn from?
Well, you know, I think the big statistics that we're all seeing these days is there is a seemingly overwhelming amount of volume coming, right? Nothing, there's no such thing as a reduction of traffic. And so that's going to trigger the following. There's a sea change already going on right now, which is there's an entire migration really from all email infrastructure from legacy-based, perimeter-based solutions to the cloud. O365, it's here to stay. It's infinitely scalable. You got to marry, therefore, that technology with an equally modern technology in order to be able to scale appropriately so that no matter what happens in volumes, your security provider can't be based in old VMs. It can't be based on perimeter-based technology. It needs to be cloud modern, cloud native from the beginning. And it needs to be really flexible in how you deploy it, because you just have to be able to say, hey, I'm going to fit in as your MX record, or I'm going to fit in as a journaling mode or BCC or connector, whatever my customer wants is what they get. But I have to be able to scale infinitely, and match that. And then you see there's going to be different vectors of attack that become very prominent, and from year to year, month to month, day to day. Right now, the two big things that we're seeing statistically, of course, is one, we're seeing the ransomware attacks. And ransomware attacks, you know, it's not a simple, here you go, download something, now my entire company or my hospital or my education institution or my supply chain is locked down, there's a very sophisticated series of steps that go in that start with reconnaissance and downloads and installations and command and control and things of that nature. So this one statistic is simply, I'm not going to go and quote like huge numbers of stats, just going to state the obvious, which is you don't want to be, you know, responsible for that. You want to be responsible for stopping that. We all, as channel friendly people, people who have lived in the channel, we want to make sure that we are the guys that are not in the news. And so that's one. Number two, the supply chain is really, really big because there's two components to that, Tracy. One of which is, yes, there's a financial element. And I got, you know, I got pawned, right? You know, I'm owned there, right? I got someone stole from me. But that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem is your reputation. Think about this as the reason why we just introduced a very cool program, which is we've just put out, and you'll start seeing this coming out through all the tech data partners. When you partner with us, we'll provide 100% of your security, your email security needs for free, right? So because what we don't want is for the channel partner, who is a really important part of the trust, to wind up having their reputation destroyed. And you want them to be whole and in the position of protecting the reputations, protecting the security of all their customers. So let me break that down, maybe a little bit more simple. One, statistically, it is about ransomware and it is about business email compromise, right? Supply chain. Two, we want to make sure we're covering both sides of that equation, which is we want to make sure that we're working with the great tech data channel partners so that hopefully you work with us, we'll supply security to your customers, and we're simple, we're easy. There could not be a simpler deployment for the most sophisticated and largest supplier of email, cloud native email security in the world right now. But beyond that, we actually would like to essentially extend our cloak of security and provide the channel partners free security. So you don't even have to think about it. You shouldn't have to think about what investment to make. You need to be protected. You cannot be a security provider and wind up in a headline where you have accidentally been defrauded or defraud accidentally a vendor of yours. So those are the big things. It's about ransomware, it's about supply chain, it's about not making the headlines, it's about being great, protecting your customers, and being protected at the same time.
No, that's fantastic. It's impressive for everyone to offer those incentives, you know, to protect our VAR partners. I think that's an incredible opportunity for all the VARs to take advantage of. Certainly their reputation, to your point, is critically important. And certain, you know, when you think about them going out to market and solicit, you know, protecting their clients, reputation's everything. And, you know, I've always have felt that there's a level, I sit on the board of CompTIA for our cybersecurity. And we've been talking quite often within all the channel around the necessary kind of protecting your house, getting back to grassroots basics, and fundamentally, what are those practices that need to be put in place for everyone? And that starts with the VAR, starts with the entire supply chain, because critically, those things are being missed in today's landscape even more. And when you think about, I've seen and read somewhere recently that, you know, supply chain attacks are in the billions. And yeah, that's a big number, right? You talked about 500 million that you were able to recover essentially and protect your clients this year thus far. And we're not even in, you know, 6 months, just approaching, right? The 5 months mark. So, you know, you're well on track to being, you know, $1 billion savings.
Oh, absolutely. And the FBI reported last year, I think if you're looking for some stats, just on the BEC reported side of things, just people who are willing to report the theft, there was over $2.1 billion of direct extraction successfully, not including all the things that have been prevented. So quite a scary environment out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you walked a lot through type 3 and 4 BEC attacks. And I know that there's, you know, Gartner's projecting a significant increase, I think well over 100% in those level of attacks this year. Mm-hmm. So phenomenal opportunity for all of us and our partners. That's why I'm so excited about this series of podcasts that we kicked off and having our vendor partners join us, talking about what's happening in the market, you know, what's the landscape, and then certainly how we can help our partners with technology and best practices to help ultimately protect everyone in the supply chain. So I think that's you know, having you join us was really, really, I appreciate it. And the time to walk through, you know, from a technical, but also from a business aspect, right? An acumen for our listeners today to understand the threat actors. So it's been intriguing to me by all means.
good. You know, this world keeps changing so quickly on us, and it's, you know, we got to stay up to date. One of the big passions we have right now, though, is let's take care of our channel. It's kind of like having a police station. You can't have a police station that doesn't have its own security or becomes a security risk, right? So, you know, our VARs protect their customers, trusted security advisors. So we want to extend that cloak to them so they don't have to make a choice between efficacy and security and rendering their services. We will help you with that. We'll take care of the security so that you can provide security to your customers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's I can see where you've extensively, as a company, have thought through the entire process with, you know, the software, but then also, you know, how do we go to market and really protect your client, your partners, mm-hmm. and ultimately their clients, and in a very new way. You know, more importantly, you know, getting to protection at the email level to mitigate these type 3 and 4 attacks that are occurring. You know, recently, I get, you know, in our organization, certainly we're always looking and evolving our education from a phishing simulation and, you know, teaching our clients on how to look for emails. And it's not, to your point, right? It's not the easy ones should be easy to spot, right? It's that level 3 and level 4 that we need sophistication, modernization, and the infrastructure, to your point, as well as the right modern approach to technology to be able to mitigate those, because, you know, frankly, it wouldn't be the human aspect that would be able to do so.
For sure. And then the other reality is that all of our old problems are still with us today. So you have to be just as good on the BEC side, but you also have to be able to be great at the ransomware side, which obviously we are, around the account takeover, you know, bots that exist and downloaders, and you've got to be able to do code detonation. You've got to be able to do it all. That's what it has to require. That's what's required. And like I said, you know, we supply more email, cloud native email security to the biggest companies in the world than anybody right now, vetted by the biggest banks, insurance companies, healthcare organizations, three letter acronym agencies, et cetera. So I think we're in a good position. I think we can work with our channel partners. I think we can extend our cloak and then allow them to extend their cloak of security to their customers with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes down to the consumer. I mean, I recently, you know, I live in the Southeast. Luckily in Florida, we weren't as impacted with the supply chain of the pipeline attack. I mean, there were mm-hmm. certain areas that were, but we were fortunate to go up to the mountains for a long weekend here recently. And, you know, those are very small towns and they were, you know, heavily impacted by the supply chain issue with the pipeline attack. I mean, there was multiple days without gas in some of the mountain towns. Yeah. And, you know, it's fearful when you think about, you know, having to go 7-8 miles out to a cabin. And then it definitely thinks the perspective changes quite a bit, right? And I think it's been education for even at that consumer kind of level, at the human aspect of your personal life too. So on how much these ransomware attacks impact every aspect. And healthcare to me is probably one of the most in the news recently, right? Outside of some of these larger infrastructure kind of plays.
It's terrifying. Ransomware is terrifying because it's not really, you know, the way that they're making a lot of money is the impact, the harm is so large in terms of what happens if you don't pay up versus paying up. It creates this horrible financial incentive that's just really just racing through the industry and creating so much massive incentives for the ransomware, attackers. Because it gets personal, right? Your healthcare records, you can't get medical treatment. Okay, you don't want to be, again, you don't want to be that hospital. You can't get food. You don't want to be that meat provider. You can't get gas. You don't want to be that pipeline provider. And just take it all the way down the line. We got to take this just deadly serious. We got to modernize up our infrastructure. That's what, you know, the administrations, the politicians are talking about these days. You got to modernize up. And I'll tell you, there's not a lot of companies that are really modern. They're not really scaled to do what they need to do. They're way too legacy oriented, much more about spam rather than the attacks. And so I just hope everyone, you know, whether it's us or whoever else, just really do the research, figure out who's great, figure out who's going to protect you, make sure you get the best security, and then recognize that, you know, stay on top of it, because it's going to change, and you just don't want to be that entity, that company that's in the news. We're here, and you're here to protect customers. Let's be silently in the background rather than on the headlines.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it very well, right? Due diligence is critically important. And mm-hmm. I would say, you know, absolutely in, you know, the ransomware stages today, it's all around, you know, modernization approach of the infrastructure. So I think, you know, as government and regulations come further, whether that be, you know, Biden's cybersecurity amendment, and then what that means to the actual commercial sectors long term too. I think there's a lot to come into those areas in the future. So, Patrick, it's been great having you today. I really, really appreciate your time. I know we've got, you know, dedicated resources at Tech Data around our Area 1 business that our partners can reach out to. But for any end customers listening today, I want to make sure that you're able to share on how they can reach out to Area 1 for any more information around your solutions. So if there's anyone that you want to particularly or just reference out to, you know, area1.com, you know, how can they get more information?
Well, you know, essentially we're very much a channel-based company. So the best thing to do is reach area1security.com and come in through the sales contact information if you don't have a relationship. One of our channel managers will wind up working with you to make sure that we can bring you on board, or just, hey, oh, do a POV, do a proof of value, put us in your infrastructure. It'll take you 6 minutes to do. No infrastructure challenges whatsoever. It's brain dead simple. And then we will show you what you're missing, what you're being attacked with. And then you'll be able to take that literally as a product, a service, a capability out to your customers. And they will see what is getting through. And when they see what's getting through in a very beautiful, visual, accurate way, then you're going to be able to extend your cloak of your expertise, whether you're, you know, a VAR, whether you're an MSSP, whether you're hybrid, you'll be able to extend that cloak. So yes, please contact us. We would love, love to talk to you.
Yeah, fantastic. And we're here to help at Tech Data. So certainly our VARs are available to help with any Area 1 questions, and we can certainly help bridge the POVs as well to help you. So we're excited about the partnership. I appreciate your time today. Love the subject. I'd love to host you again in the future, continuing on what we're seeing in the market and in the second half for our listeners to learn from. And again, Patrick, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you. That's it for this week's episode. If you have any ideas for future episodes, feel free to reach out to me at tracy.holtz@techdata.com. Also, if you enjoy the show, please subscribe at theholtzstory.com and share with your coworkers. You can also find us on your favorite podcasting platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find and listen to podcasts. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. And thanks, Patrick, for the great discussion.